So in this episode of My Mic Sounds Nice, we discuss Drake, Kendrick, and the ridiculous hip-hop battle that's going on. Do we all wish we could just go away? And then we get into college protests, MAGA protests, and just protests in general. What's right, what's wrong, and what are we feeling? And then we'll get into the Robinson Report.
Make sure you listen, because this might be the last time you hear us.
Welcome to My Mic Sounds Nice, a freestyle conversation about health, relationships, and culture. I want to dedicate this show especially to our boy Jazzy and the entire Virgil family in Group 5. Love you. This is Tim, one of your hosts. Always glad to be in the building.
This is Kev, a.k.a. Reggie Jacks, coming from the Bronx. Glad you're here. Rest in peace to Jay.
My mic sounds nice. This is A. I already have the show title for this show. And it involved our brother Jay, because that was a tough one.
All right, brothers.
All right. Yes.
You sound good, A, so that test worked.
Sound good, vision good. It's all rocking.
Well, if the eye starts drifting, just let me know.
Right. So what is going on? So listen, we've grown up hip hop. It has been a part of our lives from the beginning. We've witnessed battles between boroughs, battles between crews, battles between coast. We've witnessed battles that stayed on the mic, battles that fell into the street, and sadly, battles that have ended in the loss of life. But I don't think we've ever came across the battle that's going on in hip hop right now in 2024, or the methodology of the battle. So let's get into this, brothers.
Kev, you never go first. You up,
homie. I'm up first. All right. So I think the last time we talked about when J. Cole bowed out and how we felt about that. And a lot of people had a whole lot of negative comments about J. Cole bowing out. J. Cole's looking pretty smart right now. J. Cole is looking like, you know what? I don't know what kind of foolishness y'all about to get into, but it's not making sense to me. You know, when I listen to Drake's song, Drake comes out with the song Push Up, and he's dissing Kendrick, telling Metro Boomin to get some drums. I'm like, well, I mean, that in a track that was really, really sparse was kind of crazy. And that first diss to me, Push Up, it wasn't as good as J. Cole's diss, and J. Cole's was not good. And then when you got to the TaylorMade freestyle, I'm just going to say hated it. I'm going to say hated it for so many reasons, for the Pandora's box that he opened for it. But at this point, I'm like, just don't battle. Just leave it alone.
Well, I think to just add context for listeners, because people, you know, pay attention, not TaylorMade freestyle. What really is sparking this conversation is that this diss track not only featured Drake. This diss track started off with a verse generated by AI using Tupac's voice. The second verse was AI generated using Snoop's voice. And then the third verse was Drake. Context is everything. You use two people who are part of West Coast royalty. One is deceased. The other one is still alive, to go at what I would say is kind of the West Coast native son. You know, that baton was passed to Kendrick. So,
and Tupac is his favorite rapper.
Exactly. And so to use Tupac, and then if you listen to Pimp a Butterfly, Kendrick actually takes an interview from Tupac and splices it in such a masterful way that it's plays out as if they're having a conversation similar to the way we're having a conversation now. So that's why we're really talking about it, that's the Pandora's box that you were referring to, Kev.
Yes, thank you.
What are your thoughts, A?
So Drake, that diss speaks to what Drake has always had a problem with in hip hop. People who are being short-sighted may think that it's really
smart.
Yeah, or that was innovative, or that was creative. But it's, to me, it's what's always plagued Drake, and it's a thing of authenticity. And it's so gimmicky, and it lacks any real gravitas. And that's always been the thing, and that's why Kendrick feels the way he feels about Drake, that Drake lacks that gravitas, that realness, that honesty. Afeni Shakur would have hated this. You know, Mark Lamont Hill said that a few days ago, and he said, I knew what she would have hated this. The Estate hates this. They've already come out publicly and said, we have a problem with
his
it.
His brother did,
Snoop,
too.
Yes. Tupac. Snoop Dogg is alive. Why are you putting him this in? If go ask Snoop, does he want to do it? If he don't want to do it, then you move on. Drake had a song called Slime You Out. And he went to Halle Berry and he asked her, can we use this photo for the cover of this single? And she said no. And Drake used it anyway. And it's the same exact thing, where there's no respect for the artist. Beyond that, the track is dope. It's kind of like a ripoff of a Dre track. Not as well executed as Dre would have done it. But you could hear what they were trying to do. But the whole concept of Snoop and Tupac saying, hey, you got to get after this guy. And then the guy gets on the record and then he disses you, doesn't even make sense. I think Drake has gotten word that Kendrick's going to take his time. And Drake is trying to take advantage of the fact that he hasn't responded yet. And I think whatever Kendrick got in his mind, take your time, homie, do it the way you want to do it. You know, it's a weak track to me. If you didn't have Snoop, if you didn't have Tupac AI voices on there, people would really have a problem with the track. But there's not one dope line that Drake said. And then he gave the dopest stuff to probably Snoop, even though it's all Drake rhyming. It's just, it's corny, man.
I think it was trying to be like 8 Mile.
Yeah.
With the battle where you just bring out all the things that you are going to say about me.
And then, but, yeah.
it's bad. And people like it. That's what's concerning.
Yeah, I just think that a couple of shows ago we had this conversation about whether or not Drake was hip hop, and that was probably one of our fiercest exchanges. But our brotherhood is strong enough that Drake can't defeat us. Even with AI, we will remain Lufi. I like that. This is probably the most anti-hip hop thing that he just could have done. And I think a lot of people that like the song just don't understand the significance of using those particular voices and what that means. And
without permission.
I mean, first, like from a legality standpoint, without permission, from an artistic integrity standpoint, without permission, I guess like we're old enough to understand the East Coast, West Coast. We're old enough to understand Tupac in his multiplicity of selves. We also have been around when Snoop was doing Doggy Style and every iteration that he has gone through and manifested becoming an adult just as we have. And to do that, like, to me, that's the crime in this, that, like, there's no way Pac would have, a 50-something-year-old Pac would have done that. And so I just think from a use of AI, use of the voices, the West against the West, you got their verses and then you come last. Like, are you trying to make a posse cut? Like, it was just, honestly, for me, it was disgusting.
Yeah. And the thing is, a 50-year-old plus Tupac probably would have been mature enough that he wouldn't even want to be involved in this. Like, you know, Snoop doesn't want to be involved in this. But a 24-year-old Pac would have never rode with Drake and would have been riding with Kendrick, just a human being that we know.
Yeah.
All of that would have disgusted Pac. Drake's whole presentation would have been a problem for two.
You could say the same. You could say the same for a 24-year-old Snoop.
Yeah.
I'm saying, I'm just adding.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a log to your fire. That,
yeah, no.
Because, oh my goodness, like, please. Anybody got punched in the face to even ask them in their
20s. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Drake can talk about, he could talk about lyrical miracle all he want.
Yeah.
Because he know it's coming, but you about to get a lyrical miracle salad and get roasted.
I mean, to me, and Aaron, I really like the point that you made just talking about how, when we were talking about how Drake kind of just grabs on to what's popular,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and kind of rides that for another album or the popular people, what have you. One thing is, when AI really started getting that groundswell and kicked off last year, what was one of the first fake songs we heard? Drake and The Weeknd. What happened? Yeah. Cease and desist letters go out. Drake thanks the people who helped get this. I don't know if it was Universal or whatever. They send out the cease and desist. It comes to an end. He thanks these people publicly for supporting it. So he recognizes the danger of doing this. And then for him to go create something, I don't care what your diss is. You're like, I don't care about the entire industry. It's all about what I want.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm going to create a precedent.
I'm going to create a precedent. So now when my man from 135th Street decides he wants to do something using AI, what you going to say? Drake did it? What are you going to say? It's not okay?
Kaz
can't be fired?
To your point, we didn't even know what's the first one called? Push-ups?
Yeah.
We didn't even know if whether that was Drake or not for a week. Yeah. He just put it out. I think he just put it out a couple of days ago on a streaming platform.
Yeah. Yeah. He just gave it to academics. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Not the brotherhood, the sisterhood, the family of musicians, of musical artists, you've put them in danger or you've brought it that much closer.
Yeah.
Because all it's going to take is you do something with someone that's alive and someone is ignorant and takes it at face value and goes at that person.
And it also invites, we're already in a dangerous place with social media, with fans injecting themselves into other people's business. But you got the Kendrick response, which was AI. And now you will have people on the street, you've basically given them permission to jump into this fight. Now that ruins what the artist does. What if a fan does a better diss song?
Yeah, you just sparked my mind. And I was like, wow, like, fans can jump into this fight in a way that we couldn't dream. Like, our jumping into the fight would be the argument. You know, like, we would argue about hit him up, yep. versus Who Shot Ya. We would argue about, you know, LL and Ice-T or what, Common and Ice Cube. We're arguing. And
a safe enjoyment.
Yeah.
In that argument.
Yes, and argue lyric for lyric and this, that, and the other. But now, like, we could basically write prompts and feed content and be like, yo, Method Man is going to make a diss track going at everybody. We're going to do a Method Red AI, you know.
Tim, let me ask you both this question.
Ooh.
Could you imagine if we had AI during the Tupac and Biggie beef, with Biggie and Puff are showing restraint, somebody would have gotten killed. Well, more people would have gotten killed.
More people.
Yes, without a doubt.
Yeah, nah.
Yes.
You know, I'm thinking back to like kind of the first, you know, we're old enough to remember Roxanne, and all of the replies that came to Roxanne,
mm-hmm.
which was like a ridiculous amount of replies. And, you know, that was when people had to go in the studio and cut something up. Now, like you said, this is that on steroids.
We could just bring it. I mean, that was home. Imagine like bringing like BDP, Juice Crew, Red Alert, Mr. Magic with AI. Yeah. But you know what? I'm glad it wasn't there. I'll say that,
yeah.
You know, I'm all for embracing technology and, you know, this is actually not an indictment on AI. I just want to make that clear because a lot of people, you know, especially education spaces where we all operate in, they're grappling with that. This is an indictment on the lack of integrity of an extremely popular artist that a lot of people follow. And now you can just do whatever it is that you want to do. That, you know, we had to sample a voice and then you had to get that cleared. Now we can just create, throw it out. And then by the time you get the cease and desist, it's already out and about. So, you know, if anything, this makes Cole look super mature. Just from the standpoint of, I want no parts of this. And the fact that Kendrick bought Cole out on stage, it's like, when I was being critical of Cole, it was about the competitiveness of hip hop. This, what is happening now, I'm going to ride with you, A. Everything that gets presented as hip hop ain't hip hop. This is not hip hop.
Yeah, no.
They can call it pop hop or hip hop or
just call it Drake.
You know, Drake pop. It could be DP. It could be Drake pop. But this,
like, yeah.
This is not hip hop. You know,
I feel like this. Like, is this your king? This is your king. Come on.
And to be honest, as I said in the beginning, man, I think if you really get down to it, it's who Drake is and who he's always been. And it's the same question that's always been presented. And that's why I brought up the Halle Berry story, because for you to ask for permission and then to do something anyway, without it anyway, is low.
Yeah.
It's really like, you really don't want my permission. You did it out of...
You was going to do it anyway. You know, like we've all asked the question, like, I ain't really, I'm a fake, like I'm asking your permission. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Can I have some of this cereal, you know, in college?
Exactly. when it's already in the bowl or the spoon. It's...
Yeah. Is he going to take, you know, now he knows that the Shakur family trust is unhappy. Is he going to respect Tupac's legacy and remove his
verse?
Yeah. Of course
he didn't
not.
Really put it out.
Yeah, no. He put it on Instagram purposefully.
Yeah, he put it out in a way so it's all over YouTube. And, well, so
yes,
like, you
know, but
so
my
it
point...
It can't go back. Yeah, no.
Yeah, my point is that if he really cared, if he was really respectful of that artist...
He would come out and...
He would be like, oh, my bad. You know, I know that they feel some kind of way. But Dre don't care about that.
But I think he thinks
he's bigger than Tupac was.
And to the point that you're making, it should take no one by surprise that the Shakur estate, including his brother, took issue. Anybody that is surprised by their response
doesn't know.
They just have no clue. They have no clue about Tupac. They have no clue about Kendrick.
Yeah.
And so but we're gonna follow this and just see and hopefully this does not open to now you gotta figure out, am I listening to something that's real or fake?
Unfortunately, Tim, I think that's our future.
We've kind of crossed the line, right? 2024 is going to be the demarcation between like music you could trust to. I don't know.
You know what? We're older than remember where everything was like, yo, you know, keep it real, like yo, like stay real, and then we had to deal with when keeping it real goes wrong. and so now, when going wrong becomes real. I mean,
you know, I will say one
thing. When fake becomes real.
One thing that's important is he had to go through a bunch of hurdles. A whole bunch of people had to sit there and get that done. I don't believe Drake was sitting there working the AI, fine tuning it and all of those other things.
People were telling him that can't believe that what they were doing was hot.
That's what I'm saying. There's a whole bunch of people that was like, yeah. And we all know how the studio is, tons of people in and out. And then even afterwards, when you start playing it for people. So it would have been helpful. If, you know, you got to have good people around you. I'll just say that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring back the A&Rs.
Well, unfortunately, Tim.
They're AI too.
Not only that, are they gone, but half the labels are gone, man.
But
it's been a bloodbath in the last 3 months. All the people are getting fired in music.
I mean, but honestly, man, just have a respect for the culture. Like this is just very anti what we're about. Just understand the days and times that we're living in. It just was something that was done really in bad taste. And however Kendrick chooses to come back, I feel like you
do it right,
like
Kendrick.
Open up for him to do whatever he chooses to do.
I mean, he can talk about how corny this is,
it really feeds to, I believe, Kendrick's belief. I don't know if this is his belief, but I believe in preaching, though. I think it's kind of like Kendrick is walking around like, you really think this dude is better than me?
Yeah.
Like, you really think this guy's in the same stratosphere?
Kev, he's kind of said it. You think we're doing the same thing?
I mean, and oh my goodness, it would be dope to pull a As Yassim, what is he? Because he was already talking about. Because this won't
so many AIs.
So this would not be in Target, but you know,
that's why he would go from SKUs to AIs. So many AIs,
so many prompts, so much data being fed. Like
I'm like, you know,
so many gigabytes.
Exactly. So let's transition from Roger Troutman said computer love, Drake decided computer battle. But we're living in a day and time where there is an uprising amongst young people across this country that takes us back personally. but let's discuss this and I guess preface it. I believe in this context, this part of the conversation probably will be more emotion with information, knowing that as information continues to unfold, this is something that I'm pretty sure we'll probably have to revisit, if that makes sense.
Right. Yes. So with the, across college campuses across America within the past week or two have really seemed to have erupted, let's say. There have been protests over Israeli going into Gaza and the fight after the October 7th, after what occurred on October 7th. And students have been protesting, saying that they think that, the Israeli occupation, the Israeli invasion into Gaza has gone too far. It's not protecting of life, too many lives. It's not equal treatment. And they're saying it's genocide. A number of people are calling it genocide. Congress got involved. We know earlier on, like the president of Harvard lost their job. Or I think another president lost their job. And, you know, so just recently, last week, the Columbia president was down on Capitol Hill being questioned. And when she went back to New York, a protest erupted on the campus. She responded by calling in the police. And the police came on campus. The police have to be invited on campus into Columbia. They came on campus and began to make arrests. And then it exploded across the country. So a number of schools all across the country are now students who are protesting. And here we are.
I know with Columbia, isn't there some also a call for divestment?
They are calling for divestment. They've been calling for divestment going back to like 2004 or so. But I don't know. I can't remember if the governor at the time said that calling for that divestment was called the anti-Semitic. But you know, a number of states have said anybody that supports the BDS movement is anti-Semitic. But yeah, that's where we are. Thoughts, eh?
I had to say the silence of pondering. y'all can see my brother's hands is folded. He's about to go in five.
I think
three. Ignition.
Tell him why you mad.
Tell him why you mad, son.
Yo.
Fight the power.
Yo. I think it always saddens me that we never learn from history. That we don't embrace history, that we don't learn the lessons from history. This protest is exactly like the Vietnam protest, where the kids did some major, major expression that we did not belong in Vietnam, that Viet Cong weren't our enemy. It was a proxy war between Russia and America because they don't want to fight each other, so they fight elsewhere. And in that, what you have with youth is sometimes more passion and emotion than fact. So during the Vietnam protests, the students were wrong to call the soldiers baby killers. They were wrong. They were just 18-year-olds like you who, due to their lack of economics or whatever reason, ended up in another country. And they did not deserve to come home and be treated poorly. But they were. But the students were right about Vietnam. History has proven that. No one really thinks like, hey, we should have been in Vietnam was a good thing. No one thinks that. I think now what we have is, I think some students, because Israel and Palestine is a very complex situation with tons of history. Some people start in 67. Some people start in 48. Some people start in the late 1800s. Some people go back 1,000 years. But what I can say is that some students are saying things that can be misconstrued or can be perceived as anti-Semitic. Some people are supporting some people and putting up signs of some people that have been called terrorists and things of that nature or are terrorists. And that is absolutely wrong. However, the ultimate message of most of the students in America is that they want the violence in Israel to stop. They don't want women and children and even young men to die. They don't want starvation. They want a ceasefire Since when has a ceasefire been considered a bad thing throughout the history of mankind? So do I think some students on some campuses are making mistakes? Absolutely. Do I think some students may be anti-Semitic? Also, absolutely. But do I believe the majority of students just want the best for humanity? Yes. And unfortunately, because money speaks at these universities across the country, it doesn't matter the truthfulness of the argument that a ceasefire would be beneficial to everyone, including the Israeli hostages, most importantly. But when you got big donors, you know, stepping up every day, I'm not giving my money to Columbia. I'm not giving my money to Harvard. I'm not giving my money to Stanford. That speaks louder than anything. And it clouds the argument because now we're not dealing with truth and fact. So to me, the whole situation is sad. I wish we as Americans learned and looked at history. And students often are more passionate than they are smart, and sometimes they make mistakes, but that passion usually is grounded in truth.
You know, for me, and just finishing my first semester teaching on a college campus and having memories of being on campus, I think that we have to look at that really is part of the learning process.
Yes.
You often are led by your emotions, and we have been blessed to reach this stage that we can look back and it's like, okay, was taking over convocation the best strategy to do? Okay.
Yes.
We can have those conversations, but even in the midst of the emotion, I'd say the majority were aspiring for something they believed as a higher
yes.
cause, which is to the point that you made, that I think that these young people just feel like, yo, we can't sit idle and just watch this death. And yes, because as you were saying, it could go back, it could go back. You got some people that's taking this back thousands of years and even using the Bible as text to even
yes.
bring it from there
justify
forward
things.
And to justify things, which then creates all of these layers. But when you're 18, 19, 20, 21, you're more moved by loss of life and images
yes.
and things that you're seeing and
starvation.
And you're also moved by the people around you who you trust enough to be more informed, that the protests that we all participated in March 89, everyone that was in there was not a part of Black Neo-Force. But there was a belief that
mm-hmm.
Black Neo-Force is probably the most informed of this, and I'm going to attach my emotion to this information. It makes sense to me. There's part of this that resonates with me, and so here I am. And
yep.
so I'm pretty sure when you're looking across these campuses and you're seeing the encampments being set up, whether it's some individuals who are of Palestinian descent, some Jews who are now even speaking out against Israel. But then there's probably the pockets of, because you're influencing, because ideally the college campus is the space to figure things out
yes.
and to put your fist up and believe in justice and understand that these students who are on campus now were, for the most part, in high school with George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in high school watching the world protest like the world protested yes. over George Floyd in different mm-hmm. languages, didn't know who he was, but it just was like, you know what? Things aren't right here either. I'm going to fight yeah. too. I'm going to let my voice be heard.
Not a black man here.
Yeah.
In this country.
But you start connecting.
But I understand.
You start connecting dots because, and, yep. and what happens is pain becomes the glue where it's like, oh, I didn't necessarily have to go through exactly what you went through for even the same reasons. But now we had a conversation about our pain. And then yes. we realized, you know what? And then what's happening is the enemy starts to take on a shaping that looks similar. And that's where you get, oh, I'm going to stand in solidarity for this because today is this, but tomorrow it's going to be that. And so when you're talking about cutting funding and you're talking about donors saying that they're not going to give their money, so then we're robbing the essence of college where it's like, find yourself. Make some mistakes. Figure things out. And that's disheartening.
When I look at this and just like a little bit of history, like if you go back to the Vietnam protest, one of the things which gave the Vietnam protest so much energy was the fact that they had embedded journalists into the war. So yes, they said that was yes. the first war that was brought into the living room. So now people are seeing this. So that's yep. why you had so much energy of the young people. Now it's brought into your pocket through your phone, through social media. Now, everybody has social media. Well, not everybody, but a number of people, but all the young people are obviously going to have social media. And their social media feed doesn't look like my feed. Mm-hmm. My feed might have some dogs running around, some hip hop stuff. Whenever I see the violence, the bodies and things, I'm like, mute. I don't, that's not what I want to see. They see these things all the time. And so they are probably a lot more connected to the violence, the famine, what's going on in Gaza than the adults are. So of course they're going to have way more energy around these things. One thing I'll say is, just so the audience knows, we protested. We took over the administration building at Howard for 3 days.
Tell them why.
Because they put the head of the RNC, I can't remember the man's name. Lee Atwater. They put the head of the RNC on the board, made him a board member of Howard University. We asked to speak to him. We disagreed with it. We asked him to come to a panel. He refused to come to a panel to speak to us. Well, he came, but he decided I'm only going to meet with the Young Republican Club. It's out of a school of like 20,000. He met with like 10 kids.
Yeah.
And so we kept pushing the issue, tried to have meetings. We protested an event, the convocation, the big event that celebrates the founding of the university. President set up a meeting with us. We met with the president. He completely ignored what we wanted. So then we took over the A building for 3 days. SWAT team came in on us. Helicopters, dudes jumped off helicopters. The whole nine. We understand.
We sparked other yes. protests across the nation.
Yes.
Afterwards, for months.
Right. We were the lead story on 7 o'clock news.
Yes. The president's press secretary was asked about our protest on national news.
I forgot about it. Yes.
But it was basically because Lee Atwater, for the audience, just to further remind you guys, he was the architect of the Willie Horton ad, which was a racist ad in the 1988 presidential election with Michael Dukakis, of a black man raping a white woman. So it had all of the racial tropes of the scary black man that Lee Atwater used. And they were, you know, Lee Atwater also was one of the early architects of, you don't call black people the N-word anymore. You start using dog whistle words so that things go down much easier. So the world that we live in today, where we say, what's an example, Kevin?
We went from state rights. We say urban.
Yes.
We say,
at risk.
Yeah, all.
Yes. At risk, yes.
Yes. So all of those words.
Welfare recipients.
Yeah. Yes. So all of those things, rather than being pitchfork devils, they began to use different words. Lee Atwater was
And there's an audio tape of him saying that, saying yes. Literally, you can't say the N word, except he doesn't say the N word.
He yes. says the word.
He says the word, and he takes you through the process. You just Google Lee Atwater, and you will hear.
Yes. So that's why we were upset about him being on the board. Now, as we're older, we still feel like
what a board is. Yeah.
Yeah, and understand the board and the fact that he could have brought money to Howard. The question becomes, was it right? Because he resigned. He didn't stay on the board. Should we have maybe negotiated longer before we protested? Should we have been willing to overlook some of the burdens of having a man like that on the board? Because at that time, Howard really needed money. And you had a Republican president in office. Howard gets a lot of federal funding, even though it's a private university. And Lee Atwater and George Bush were tight. So there was more nuance to the question. I still think most of us would have come down on what we believed at 20. But the point is, our passion of, oh, heck no, we're not letting this dude on our campus was very strong at the time. And what our argument wasn't as nuanced, but as Tim so rightly pointed out, this is what college is for you to learn and grow and become that nuanced person who learned to think about things in many ways.
Hey, let me add to that, because one, because both you and Kev were part of Black Nia Force, and even as close as we are, you're sharing pieces of information that I either knew and forgot or didn't know. And I'm not saying that there's any problem with that. It's just building to the point that I feel. You started this off talking about having an understanding and appreciation for history. I do know it meant something to be at Howard. It meant something to be part of a legacy of protest that has yes. taken place at Howard.
At Howard.
And so you feel like this is our moment, because Lee Atwater was really the wick that lit the candle. There was issues around not having mandatory courses in African American yes. studies, conditions of the school,
which we asked for during the exactly. protest.
So right. I just wanted to make that plain, that it's like everything that we were protesting about did not end with Lee Atwater. It may have began yes, yes. with it.
With Lee Atwater. Yes, great point.
And we were also being advised by our elders, like, this is your moment. We stood in 68, and this is what came from this. And so this is where we are. I also
support by yeah, professors.
I also think that, yes, so we're learning this. So it almost came across like, yo, we're learning this. We're here on this hallowed ground. Hip-hop is giving us a revolutionary soundtrack. Like, if we time. Go to 89, like, we yep. we ain't talking AI tailor-made freestyle. In 89, like, everybody was rocking Raider hats, even if they had never been to Cali. So, and or big metal, you know, I mean, leather.
Fear of a
Black Planet. So this is where we are. And so I think for this generation, that it's no coincidence. If you think of the universities where these uprisings are taking place, what has been the history on these campuses? What is the history of the makeup of the students that are on this campus? They witnessed the world protests around George Floyd. And I just think that this is a moment. And Kev, the point you brought up about the journalism in Vietnam to now everything being social media, that this is it. That because now they literally can look and see, oh, somebody went live from Gaza You know, like, you all had to have a meeting and then bring the information back. Like, could you imagine in 89 if we had social media?
Yeah.
You know, we had to get the word around, like, yo, at 12, be at the flagpole. So
they had to make copies and put it under people's doors.
Yeah, like we did this without a hashtag. Like, you know, somebody had a Kinko's bill. But then I think now we have to ask ourselves, as these students begin to do their part, what is our role? Because there were
not to demonize them like we.
No, I'm just saying. I'm saying when you have that opportunity, if it's happening in your community, because people brought us food in 89.
Yes,
adults played certain roles. Like, there's some schools where the faculty is literally coming out and forming barriers. So it's like, in order to get to the baby, you got to come to us. Do we have pockets of bail money? Like, so because.
So Tim, now you're saying these things, and definitely, you know, I think it is incumbent upon the adults to help support them, to help them fix their message, to get their message better, to
more narrow,
to get rid of the people that are allowing it to be sidetracked. I think I go back to in the protest when the SWAT team came in, right? After the SWAT team comes in and then they finally get called off, the mayor.
Shout out to Marion Barry.
Shout out to Marion Barry. Even though now that I'm older, he probably sent the SWAT team in to begin with, but you know. But he sent in the deputy mayor, and I was ahead of security, and he says, you know, he says to me, listen, we got to set up some sort of safety plans here. We need more rules and things. We're only in there for maybe a full day at this point. Maybe one night we were there at this point. And we sat up, and we devised a safety plan, places of egress, all these different things to make sure. So here's a person with some knowledge recognized, like, hey, you have all these people in here and I know what you're protesting for, but let's make sure that we're safe. Let's make sure that we don't have any danger. I can't imagine. That would be like, you know, Mayor Adams in New York is definitely
not going to go to Columbia and do that.
Definitely not going to go to Columbia and do that. And another point, you know, I probably walk across Columbia's campus, I don't know, maybe once or twice a week, kind of my reparations. I started doing it when I found out that other people were camping out on having picnics on Howard's campus, some new gentrifiers to the community. So I say, you know what? I'm walking across Columbia's campus. I'm going to sit and eat lunch just because that's my take back. I'm not in D.C. I'm supporting. So now that it's shut off, and it was shut off before, like right after October 7th when the initial protest kicked off, but it has been open, but it like recently just shut down again. Because I probably walked across it from last week, the week before. I go around. As I'm walking around the block, I see there's a police van. It's like a Suburban, but it's unmarked. But the dudes are wearing NYPD Taru vests. And I look, and it's like one of those cars where you have something on the top. Like people to go camping and things like that. Mm-hmm. There's something off it. And I'm looking and I'm like, yo, what is that? Something attached to a string. It's a drone. So they were in the midst of launching a drone. I pull out my phone. I try to get it. I miss it. I can't get it. The drone is off and doing whatever. I'm sure spying on the kids and everything. Yeah, you know, I say that to say, you got to be careful. Young people that are out there, be careful. Who knows? They're taking your pictures. They're getting these things. Facial recognition. Be careful, be careful, be careful.
I think that the worst part about this, it's just going to be retribution this time around. I think that they're going to go after kids and they're going to be expelling kids at, if not all of these universities, some of these universities.
Dude, and that's my son and I were walking over by the new school in downtown by Union Square. And we hear some protesting going on. You know, he hadn't chosen his college yet. And he's like, nah, we got to cross the street. It's like, I can't have my picture in any of these things. I don't want to get jacked up in any way. You know, caught up. And I know a number of young people are thinking that way. Like, I don't want to get caught up in this, even messing up my chance to get to college, let alone in college.
Let me ask you, is anybody aware of if the protests have spread to other universities internationally.
Yes, I believe.
In support of American.
I believe I saw this morning they were saying that there are some. But
because if that happens, that's a game changer.
I didn't get to see it where they were taking the same stand or whether it was in support of. But I think now, I mean, we're a global society and we have the technology where things can go global just like this. And for me, just seeing it happen at these Ivy League schools, happening at these big major institutions, I believe USC, Kev, canceled their main commencement.
They canceled the commencement.
Canceled commencement.
They should have. I mean, and what USC did was despicable for the Muslim woman that was the valedictorian. They canceled her speech because of outside threats.
That was
where it started. Yeah. They canceled her speech because of outside threats, because the community in support of Israel, a number of people in support of Israel, were opposed to her having the opportunity to speak. And I guess they made some threats or whatever.
But I think they also dug into social media posts and came up with social media posts that they deemed to be anti-Semitic and the like. This adds a whole different layer. And as we're wrapping this up, like, could you imagine the ability to go and pull Aaron? You said this in Douglas, room 116, on February 15th, 1989, at a planning meeting when things got emotional, and I'm going to tag you for it on April 26th. 2024, as you're about to go set up and do a podcast program at a school.
I'm sure I've said some things because my policies have evolved. My thoughts and my worldview has grown, and I'm sure.
And it should.
Yeah, I am sure I've said some things that.
I mean, I'll
give you a very simplistic one. I told my father and his wife at the time that essentially they were sellouts, that they, you know, were down for the cause, and then they went and got jobs and you know, are not willing to stand up anymore.
You got soft, yes.
And then you sold out. What a privileged, ridiculous teenage point of view. I think about that now, and I think? What did my father and his wife think of me? Where I'm thinking I'm sounding all intelligent. They must have really been like, wow.
Like you thought you were hurting their feelings. They were probably laughing.
Or it was like, yo, and we're paying for this boy to go out here and come back with that tam on his head. But
I remember I told my uncle
that
Islam was the oldest religion on earth. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, son, it's Judaism. And I was like, no. And then my friend was there, like, yeah, nah, it's Islam. And it's like, yo, like, how stupid and uninformed do you have to be as, and then just think you're right because you're on college campuses hearing dumb things. Just like we were talking at Jason's repast. We were talking about, Nigel brought up how we would say on college campuses, oh, Howard, there's 6-1 women, you know, 6-1, you know, women versus men. Men.
Yeah.
When it's like probably like 1.2 or 1.3-1, which is still a huge number. But that's how stupid we were that we believed. And that's something that's said on almost every college campus. Oh, it's like 5-1.
You know, to your point, that's also, like, that's why I think it's important as we just wrap this segment up. When you talk about the civil, oftentimes we speak about the civil rights movement, but we don't talk about the Children's March that was integral to the civil rights movement. Because if you pay attention, and then from a journalistic standpoint, because I'm going to keep riding Kev's point, the images of the hoses and the dogs are primarily on children because it was the children who decided we are going to skip school and we are going to protest because the parents,
high schoolers
and younger, high schoolers and younger. So this wasn't even college. So they was about that life.
Yes.
So because parents were, if I step out, I'm going to lose my job. If I lose my job, I could lose my home. If I lose my home, we're in the street. Yep. So there's this natural.
Or somebody may come to my house.
And, you know,
at night.
So there's this natural order of things that work together. So there was an age for the front line. There's an age for wise counsel. There's an age for tangible support.
Speak on it, Tim.
There's an age. And so when we can keep things together, then because you could share a firsthand account. This is what I did at 19. That was a misstep, but this is what I did that helped shape me to be the person that I am today. And I just want to share the information with you. You're going to take of it what you choose to do. You know, just as I remember being freshmen, and for most of us, that was the first time we ever heard Minister Farrakhan.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm standing there as a kid who grew up in church and Christian all my life. So there's some things I'm like, okay, I can't rock with that. But then overall, it's just like, oh, this man is brilliant. And so you start to think, and that is really what makes this engine move, is let's have thought and let's have conversation. And so I feel sorry for these young people, because now I feel like you are being damned for even asking the question.
Yeah. I'll say this for my last statement for the young people would be to narrow your message. You care about humanity. You care about the violence going on in the war. State that. Be consistent. You care about what's going on in Gaza. Show the same care for the Israeli hostages, for the people of Israel, for your Jewish brothers and sisters that are in school with you. Don't make their life uncomfortable, even if you disagree with them. All of that gets in the way if you really care about...
If you're really trying to solve the problem.
If you're really trying to solve the problem and you're really trying to stop two-year-old Palestinian kids from dying. And also, don't not vote for Biden as if you think Donald Trump is going to get in office and make life better for these Palestinian
and
children.
What?
Like, if you care at all, use your brain.
Yeah, if you really care about the people, you have to know that Donald Trump is just going to, you have to know that Netanyahu is doing things to support, to give Donald Trump the space to win. And if Donald Trump wins, Netanyahu will have a free pass to do whatever it is he likes. And we kind of see what he likes to do thus far.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to end it with the piece. You know, for me, I was thinking of Frantz Fanon. You know, historian Frantz Fanon, author, and I remember what people used to tell us when we were in school. And he had a line where he says, each generation must, out of relative obscurity, discover its mission, fulfill it, or betray it. Young people, you know, it's up to y'all.
No doubt.
And police the hate speech. Police the hate speech.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. And your path for righteousness will challenge your allegiance.
Yes, yes.
Oof. That's a fact.
We need the Robinson Report. Right.
The Robinson Report. What are those things that are giving you life? You know, I'm going to go first, and I'm not going
to
be angry.
I was about to say, are you mad?
I'm not. You know, I'm mad at Drake. I'm mad at what's going on. You know, the whole Gaza situation, and now what they're doing to the young people trying to protest. here's what I'm going to say, but I'm going to go back to the AI piece, right? People out there, be careful with the AI. I have a family member where someone took my daughter's voice, played it to another family member to make it sound like she was in trouble, making it seem like she got arrested and she needed money. Luckily, the family member that they were talking to said, okay, well, what's the password? We use passwords in my family. If it's an emergency, we got to have some sort of password, some sort of code all the time that we've always used. And she was like, okay, what's the password? Now, my daughter and this person didn't happen to have a password at the time, but just luckily she was smart enough to say, what's the password? And then the person hung up the phone. Be mindful of these things. You have to watch out for AI. It can get you. Set up passwords for your family, because sometimes as people get elderly, they will try to take advantage of it. That's my Robinson report.
Wow.
Yes, I like that.
PSA, PSA. you know what? I'm going to shout out my students. We just finished our first semester of my seminar in hip hop class, and my students, all nine of them, were amazing. And you know, we just really grew together. And that's what made having this conversation about protesting and just even AI really resonate with me in a different way. Because two times a week for the past semester, I've had a chance to talk to a group of college students who are creative. So they're in the process of finding their voice, and they have opinions and things like that. So I definitely want to shout out to the nine, not the divine nine, but they're my nine. and it was just been an amazing semester, and also looking forward to May 17th when Rhapsody drops her next album. So that is a projection for a Robinson report. So A, what say you, my brother?
I have something for you guys that is off the beaten path for me.
Uh-oh.
It is a new album by a group called Krungbin. Krungbin. They are like a fusion group when it comes to music. Like funk, rock, dub. You know, they are influenced by Afghan and Middle Eastern music. And they have a new album, Ala Sala, that you can check out on Spotify or wherever you stream music. Very relaxing music. Some are instrumentals, some are just, you know, vocals that are nice and soft or whatever, but really quality music, type of music you could put on and just leave, and a mood has been set. So this is their fourth album, I believe. You know, they tour, you know, they're pretty popular. I'm pretty new to them. It's not anywhere near the boom bap that Aaron Lloyd lives and dies for, but I think Kev might appreciate it because he's eclectic.
I just peeped it. Yeah, I know them. I listen to
Kev. Kev is eclectic.
What I said.
He's the one that draws us in. But as we wrap up the show, congratulations to Mary J. Blige and Tribe Called Quest.
Quest got in?
Being selected to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I believe the ceremony is October 19th. Cher and some other people. But for my mic sounds nice, Mary J. Blige, Tribe Called Quest. We rock with who we rock with. And there you
go. If you would have looked at the nominee list.
No, that's what I'm saying.
That nominee list was even for hip hop.
No. Yo, I was surprised they got in.
That's why I said, you see my shock point of view.
Like, oh.
Yo, it was some monsters on that list.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah.
So good for them.
To them.
Yep.
So listen to my life in a scenario today.
Yeah. Another one done.
And another one.
Peace. This is Tim. Until next time, stay focused. Keep your message tight. Your fist up. Until next time.
Your mic don't sound nice?
Yeah, my mic sounds nice. This is Kev. My mic always sounds nice. This is Kev coming from the Bronx. Peace. Fight the power, y'all. Fight the power.
My mic sounds nice. This is A. Adults out there, help these students navigate this world. And don't be so judgmental. Remember what you were like at that age. Peace.